flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. I want to thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Brayden Suprenant Show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at B_SURP. And be sure to tune in every Sunday for the Brayden Suprenant Show from 8 to 10 in the morning right here on 97.3 The Fan. Enjoy the show, guys.
All right, time for pointless discussion on the College Football Playoff Ranking Show. I'm Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for tuning in. Live and local each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. This entire thing always has a lot of controversy because it comes down to what metrics are you really using and how are you using them to benefit your own particular school. And that seems to be the case a lot. I got my buddies, a Penn State fan, arguing that I said Notre Dame in front. But I'm just saying, what are we counting when it comes to ranked wins? Because I think that's how you evaluate Penn State and Notre Dame. Why is Notre Dame ranked in front of Penn State in general? Well, they do have the local advantage on Penn State. And they're 11-1 on the season. Penn State's got 2 losses. But again, you can't punish Penn State for playing an extra game, especially comparing them to a school that doesn't even have a conference. But you look at the 2 schedules back-to-back. Penn State's got victories over Illinois, who was ranked at the time. And that's the only ranked win that they have on their schedule at the time. And some of these schools aren't even ranked anymore anyway. I think Illinois still is. I mean, so they got the 1 ranked win. Notre Dame beat A&M, who was ranked at the time. I don't really want, I mean, and then it gets to Louisville, Army, and Navy. I mean, are those really ranked wins? Army is. I mean, Army won their conference, and they are ranked in the top 25. So even though the Illinois win's probably more impressive than the Army win, it's still a ranked win. So if you're doing current ranked games in which you have won, and or games that were teams that were ranked at the time, Notre Dame's got more than Penn State does. Common opponents, USC and Notre Dame. I don't really know. I can't really view that as a 49-35 victory for Notre Dame. That game kind of got out of hand late. I mean, USC was driving to win and threw 2 fluke pick sixes at the end, where Penn State was in a nail biter with SC too. I mean, that game is pretty much the same. It's a very comparable schedules between the two. I just think the committee is going to pick Notre Dame over Penn State. Not necessarily thinking that they really deserve it. But just because the team is, just because you don't think that they're good and they're ranked, they're still ranked. Still a ranked win, whether you like it or not. So now we're getting all the analysts in here. How about Kirk Herbstreit saying he doesn't have any opinion on any matter? You know, because obviously everything happened with Florida State last year. He's like, I hope everybody gets a trophy and everybody wins out. I mean, that's kind of like, and I'm not condoning like sending any of these guys death threats because that's insane. But you get paid to give your opinion. That's why you're on the show. That's why you get the money from the place to be on the show, is to give your opinion, and people aren't going to like it. I mean, I got my own friend right now yelling at me about Penn State. I mean, it's opinion based. That's what makes this thing kind of a sham in general. Is it's everybody's opinion on who they think is good based on random metrics that some people value more than others. This is what they used to do in high school football, except it was a bunch of coaches trying to pick who deserves to be in the playoffs. Now they have a computer ranking system. People still upset about that. Again, I mentioned before going into the final hour, I think Oregon's going to get the number one seed. I'll take Georgia as the number two. Arizona State's probably the three. I'd go Boise State four. And again, I'm going off metrics. I can't do too much eye test. If I did eye test, Penn State would probably be ahead of Notre Dame. But if you're talking strength of schedule and you're talking about quality wins and quality losses and all that stuff like that, I think Notre Dame's resume plays out a little bit better than Penn State's. Notre Dame went on the road and played Texas A&M. Penn State played West Virginia, who fired their coach. And then beat Bowling Green by 7 points at home. I mean, you know, and a loss for Northern Illinois for Notre Dame. I think that has to play a factor. But it's Notre Dame's got more quality wins than Penn State does. USC, not good. 6-6. UCLA, not good. Illinois, ranked. Good win. Wisconsin, not good. One of the worst years they've had in decades. Washington, not good. Purdue, not good. Minnesota, not good. Maryland, not good. Oregon, good, lost. Ohio State, good, lost. So based on the metrics, I'd take Notre Dame over Penn State. Based on the eye test, I think Penn State plays better than Notre Dame. But I'm not a big eye test guy. I'd rather do it on what you have accomplished on the field, and what Notre Dame has accomplished, which is not even that impressive, is a little bit better than what Penn State has. So I'd have Notre Dame come in at number 6 behind Texas at 5. But then again, this is the problem with this whole playoff system. And then you start looking at Texas. Well, what has Texas done? With that entire sequence I just went through, what's the difference between Texas and Penn State? Texas in the SEC? Okay. Texas beat Michigan? How do we know Penn State would have beat that Michigan team by way more points? We don't know. They didn't play each other in conference this year, which is dumb. What has Texas done that's better than Penn State? What is Texas's best win? A&M? What's that different than Penn State? I guess they got a better win. I mean, is beating A&M on the road better than beating Illinois at home? Probably. But aside from that one win in a rivalry game, the schedules are not that much different. The top five team that they played, they lost to. And they lost to them twice. Same thing with Penn State. So two losses are the same. Mississippi State, not very good. Lost to Arizona State, matter of fact. So if you start breaking it down, Penn State and Texas, why does Texas deserve to be ranked ahead of Penn State? What have they done to deserve to be ranked ahead of Penn State? Maybe it should be Notre Dame 5, Penn State 6, Texas 7. I mean, seriously, look at the resumes back to back of who they played. Are we counting ranked wins against teams that are currently ranked? Are we counting ranked wins against teams that were ranked at the time? I mean, Vanderbilt's technically a ranked win for Texas right now. Vanderbilt finished the SEC with a losing record in the SEC. Is that a ranked win? Is it not a ranked win? This is the stupidity of this thing. I'm just talking with breaking down two teams in general. It's dumb. Is Oklahoma a ranked win or are they not a ranked win? Is that a good win for Texas? Is that a good loss for Alabama? Can't be a good win for Texas and a bad loss for Alabama. What's Oklahoma? I mean, this is all the nonsense and it's all opinions that lay this thing out. But if you look at Texas's schedule and you look at Penn State's schedule, give me a reason why Texas deserves to be ranked ahead of Penn State. If your reason is they beat A&M, sure. I mean, that's one data point, though. I think the schedule Penn State played is a lot better than the one Texas played. Texas played Colorado State, Michigan, and went 500. UTSA, Louisiana Monroe, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Georgia lost, Vanderbilt, Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, Texas A&M, and then Georgia again. What gives Texas the benefit of the doubt over Penn State? I don't know. Couldn't tell you. I think you can make the argument that you could go Oregon, Georgia, Arizona State, Boise State, Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio State. You could do that. I mean, those middle groups are all pretty much going back and forth with each other. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We do have some time. Again, they're recapping everything right now before they get the playoff selection out there. Let's get to a phone call while we have the opportunity. Let's go out to Kevin in Chula Vista. Kevin, what's going on?
Morning, Braden. Thanks for having me again. I'm just having a hysterical laugh at all of this college football mental gymnastics that is history actually repeating itself over and over. Yes. You know, and I want to get to Sean Lewis after this, if I may, but, you know, back when I was growing up, which was before you were born, we had a system. It was not a good system, but it was a system called the polls based on AP, UPI, and there might have been one other out there. I can't remember. We ended up with your champions based on the polls. Okay, left for great arguments at the end of the season. And actually, you know, it was fun because, you know, you could, you know, sit here and have these same conversations. But the positive side was the bowl system was intact. They made sense. The conferences were intact geographically and otherwise. They made sense. And we've thrown all of this away for now this other playoff system that was supposed to go from 4 to 6 to 12 that was supposed to solve all this. And what are we talking about on this day? The same bunch of stupid idiot debates about, well, this team didn't get in and that team should get in and that team got out and all. Come on, man. I mean, you got what you wanted, folks, with your playoff.
Hold on a second, Kev. I'm going to cut you off. No, we did not.
All right.
We did not get what we wanted. I'm tired of hearing that argument. No, BS. We did not get what we wanted. We wanted a playoff in which you won it on the field and you didn't have 12 angry men discussing, men and women, like it's a jury verdict for a court case. That is not what we wanted. But that is what they gave us because they want to control the narrative still and they want to control what's going on. That is not what any college football fan wanted. With the 4-team playoff, they didn't want a bunch of people in a room making up excuses for why their team should be in because they get better TV ratings. They wanted a fair playoff where you win your conference and you're in and you win it on the field. That's what college football people, it's not just the 12 teams. It's never been about the teams. It's been about how you seed and how you get teams into the playoff. That is what it's been about. So college football fans have never been given what they have wanted since day one. I had to correct you on that, but go ahead.
Okay, I that's not the context that I meant. I agree with everything that you said, but the context that I'm talking about, Braden, is exactly the things that you pointed out that were unavoidable to begin with, which was the people in the dark room, the networks, they were not going to step aside. And I think you would agree with that in reality.
They're paying the bills.
Right, exactly. So I'm saying we got a 12-team playoff. It's not what we wanted. I agree with everything that you said. But the context of it is the powers that be are never going to step out of this thing and make this the type of utopian system that we asked for. It's just not going to happen. So in the meantime, my point is, we had a bowl system that's not worth a damn anymore. Why are we having a Holiday Bowl when half the players can theoretically bow out of this thing for various other reasons? I mean, you just go right down the list. So that's where I'm coming from, is that the entire system, for everything that was supposed to have been brought to make it better, has actually, I think you can make the argument, it ain't gotten any better. We've just chased our tail in circles, and now we're, instead of two teams are arguing about at the top, which we used to with AP-UPI, now we're arguing about 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So we didn't gain anything out of this. That's my point, and I think you would agree with that.
Yeah,
Sean Lewis, I got to ask you something.
Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question about Sean? Okay.
Absolutely. We got right now, they still haven't given us a bracket because they're going to talk about all the things we've talked about for a month instead of just giving us the 12 teams that we need that everybody's waiting for. So go ahead. We got time to kill, Kevin.
We got time to kill. Anyway, so you and I are on the same page. It's just it's a context issue, but nonetheless. So Sean Lewis, you're a coach. If you have a team, Braden, that goes through the season and regresses, doesn't pick up your system, and is still committing over 100 yards in penalties, as an example, wouldn't you as a coach step back, take a look at yourself and say, well, maybe this crew here that I picked can't do what I wanted to do, and maybe this is something that the coaching staff needs to take a deep look at, considering they had an entire offseason of practices, and they went through an entire season, and the team, instead of getting better and showing improvement, gets worse. At some point, don't you think the coach needs to step up publicly and say, maybe I need to take a look at all of this and see where this whole thing broke down?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things with that. It's not all of his guys. I mean, he's still inherited a lot of players, and they're in a tough spot where he's trying to get players to come to a place that doesn't have the same resources in getting kids as some of these other schools do, and he's got to take a lot of chances. And to me, I mean, again, with the system that he has, there's only so much you can do to like redo your entire system. And the thing is you got to do something that you believe in, and the system that he has is something that he believes in and stuff that has worked before in the past. So with that particular case, I mean, there's only a couple adjustments you can make to try to make things work with what you have. It's not like a high school where, you know, in reality, he doesn't have a say in what players come in, and you get a different class, and, you know, maybe you can't run some of the things that you have with that certain class. But in college football, you know, it's just like the NFL. You got to go find the players that fit your system. And to me, this is the first real offseason that he gets fully to go out there and find the players in the transfer portal that help his system, to go find players, you know, and that are high school players that he might be able to be part of this deal. And again, they're in a tough spot because you almost really want to just hit the transfer portal more than recruits, because anybody that you recruit and develop, if they do play too well, they're going to be gone anyway. And they got some good news with Trey Wright staying. I think that's big news for the Aztecs. I think some of their leaders that were on the team this year staying and some continuity is going to be good. And I think it takes time. It definitely takes time. I mean, you're not going to be able to flip the script on a lot of these programs, including, you know, San Diego State. And the thing that's frustrating is you saw him play well against a team like Washington State, and then you saw him kind of collapse down the end of the season. It's tough to keep the vibes going and keep kids engaged, especially ones that are graduating and are already got one foot out the door. So you got to give Sean Lewis time. You can't drastically change your system to make everything work. It's not going to work like that. And maybe he's got to find it. He's got to find players that can fit what he got. And until we see him enter the transfer portal and go get some guys, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time for San Diego State. I give them this full offseason. If they make improvements into next year, I think they're on the right track. But my question always is, you know, because a lot of people are upset with Sean Lewis, who are you going to go get that's better that wants this job in particular right now?
You know, those are great points. No doubt, there's no argument about needing more time. My only question is that sometimes coaches get myopia, and I understand the need to run your system, yada, yada, yada. But when, again, as you pointed out correctly, when you have the kind of turnover that you look at, I think one of the mistakes they made this year was trying to overpromise on this so-called Aztec fast when they weren't ready yet to even be Aztec competent given the turnover. So my question, last question to you, again, using your coaching experience, do you think if this team went into an offensive huddle more regularly and maybe scaled back the so-called fast no huddle to maybe the last 2 minutes of a quarter or a half, whatever, would that may have helped these kids slow down a little bit and give them time to adapt?
I mean, maybe not. I mean, not necessarily. Most teams nowadays run no huddle at all levels. I mean, it's very rare you find, especially in high school, schools that huddle up anymore. And, you know, maybe for communication. I mean, the fact that you have a freshman quarterback, I don't really care what system you run. A true freshman quarterback playing at a college level is going to be very difficult, and everything runs with him, right? So if you have a young signal caller that, you know, is not a holdback guy, or and still it's brand new to him, you know, your offense is not gonna hum as much as it would with a guy that is, you know, has experience and everything like that. And Kevin, I appreciate the phone call. We got to get going here because, you know, they're gonna start announcing these teams here in a second. But you got to know, there's a couple of things with Sean Lewis. One, you got to run what you know, and you got to be true to yourself. But at the same time, you could still make adjustments in that. And I think San Diego State did do some of that, but you can't get away from yourself because that's what makes you a coach. And the other thing too is when you start breaking it down on how you fix problems, it's hard to think about like how I would fix it normally, but how do I translate this into my new system, if that makes sense. Like, I know how to fix things with the defense I like to run. But when I have to fix things based on a defense I don't like to run, and I try to, and it's not my ideal, it makes it a little bit more difficult to do. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll find out who's in the college football playoff top 12, as that's coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the Fan. Quick break as we got the college football playoff selection committee unveiling their 12-team field, and we're going to react live to their top 12, if they will. And again, here comes all the resume comparisons and the drama. But as of right now, the number one team in the college football playoff is Oregon, as we expected. Oregon gets the number one as a conference champion. The number two is Georgia. And right now, they're, you know, putting up the resumes of Boise State, Arizona State, and Clemson. Again, you look at the resumes, Boise State's got two wins over UNLV and a win against Washington State. Those are their three best wins. Arizona State's best wins are BYU, who beat SMU, by the way, Iowa State and Kansas State, and Clemson beat Pitt and SMU. I don't know why you would put Boise State ahead of Arizona State, but we'll see who gets the number three seed as the another bye. And Boise State does not. Oh, yeah, they do. They do. They get the number three seed. They are ranked ninth in the final rankings. So Boise State will be in the Fiesta Bowl awaiting a play-in game, or should I say a first-round game. So Boise State gets a bye, which I thought they would get a bye because I think they deserved it over Clemson with three losses. But, you know, the thing that was interesting to me is Arizona State, if they would have got the three, would have been playing in the Fiesta Bowl. Instead, they get the four, and now instead of playing in their backyard, they got to fly and play in Atlanta as the four if they do get the four, and they do. So they get the 12 overall rank, and they get the four seed. To me, I think the committee did that because they didn't want Arizona State to have a home game potentially against the number five team in the country, whoever that may be. So I think this is a little, I'm not a big fan of that. I think Arizona State proved that they were better than Boise State all year. They have better wins than Boise State all year. They, you know, and Boise State, their best win is really a loss to Oregon. I mean, we act like Boise State beat Oregon. They didn't. They lost by three. That's the biggest thing that put Boise State at number three over Arizona State was the fact they lost to Oregon by three. I don't see it. I don't understand. But the fact that Arizona State's ranked 12th and gets the 4 seed is insane. They pushed them back way far down, which means Clemson's going to be 13? They have to be 13. I think that definitely, that has to tell me that Bama's out, right? I mean, if they put, unless they move Bama in front, they can't, they're not going to move Alabama in front of 12th ranked Arizona State. They got Clemson at the last spot. They come in at number 16 in the country. They get the 12 seed in the bracket. I think Arizona State being 12 is very telling. I don't see how Alabama's going to be ranked in front of them. They're going to be like 13 or 14. So as of right now, Oregon's 1, Georgia's 2, Boise State's 3, Arizona State is 4 in the seeds. Again, it's different than the rankings of the top 25. College football playoff rankings top 25. Oregon got the one, Oregon's 1, Georgia's 2, Boise State's 9, Arizona State's 12, and Clemson is 16. So Clemson as the 12 seed will be traveling to the 5 seed, whoever that may be. They would play, if they win, at Arizona, or they'd be playing in the Peach Bowl. Texas gets the number 3 spot in the country, which means they are the 5 seed since they didn't win their conference. So Texas will be the 5. They will host Clemson the 12, and that winner will play Arizona State in the Peach Bowl, which is not too bad. So that's how it works out. Texas, top at-large team in the country, at number 3 in the country and the 5 seed. So again, Oregon number 1 will play in the Rose. Georgia will play in the Sugar Bowl as the number 2 seed. The 3 seed will be Boise State. They'll play in the Fiesta Bowl. And the 4 seed will be Arizona State in the Peach Bowl. Winner of Texas and Clemson will play Arizona State in the Peach Bowl in the quarterfinals. Clemson is going to be playing at Texas, which is an intriguing matchup, the ACC versus the SEC in this one. I thought they might have had Clemson pass SMU in the deal, but they're not. So that's at the number 12 spot. Or maybe they did, and maybe SMU's out. Penn State comes in as the 6th seed. They have them 4 overall, so they do have them ranked above Notre Dame. They don't punish Penn State for playing in the Big Ten championship game, nor do they punish Texas, which I think is fair. I think it's fair. So Penn State, the 6th seed, will host a game in the first round, and if they win, they'll be in the Fiesta Bowl against Boise State. So Penn State going to host as a 6th seed. If they win, they will play Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl against the number 3 seed. Very interesting matchup, and they will not get Notre Dame. Notre Dame will get the 7. So they rank 7. They rank Notre Dame 5th in the college football top 25, which gets them the 7 seed in the tournament. Notre Dame will get a home game as the 7, and they will play, if they win, Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, which is going to be a home game for Georgia, even though it's in New Orleans, but got a southern team in the south. That should be a potential good matchup as Notre Dame will host a first-round playoff game as the 7th seed. They come in at number 5. Here's where things get interesting. It's kind of the range of Tennessee and Ohio State, and whether or not Tennessee will get the home game or Ohio State will get the home game as the 8 and 9 seeds in the playoff and the 6 and 7 spots in the country. And it's going to be Ohio State that gets the 8 seed, which means they think they're the 6th best team. Boogie in the chat, playoff games in the quarterfinals will be neutral sites. In the first round, they will be home games. So Ohio State gets a home game. Penn State gets a home game. Notre Dame gets a home game. Texas gets a home game. I'm thinking Tennessee is probably going to play Ohio State as the 9 at this point, but we're waiting to see. I think the comparisons are there with Ohio State and Tennessee. I find it interesting that they thought that Ohio State would be a better spot to host. And here's the deal. As Jake Waters puts in the chat on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, You're going to have three cold weather matchups with Notre Dame hosting in South Bend. It's going to be cold for that game. Penn State hosting in Pennsylvania. It's going to be a cold game. And then Ohio State. And Tennessee is going to be going to Ohio State for that first game. I think you could have flipped it back and forth. I think you could have had Tennessee host. The fact that the committee gave the cold weather teams the advantage with the home field is very interesting to me. That's going to be an interesting environment, Tennessee at Ohio State. Again, even though Tennessee comes from like a warmer climate normally, at this point in the year in Tennessee, it's cold. Like it snowed in Nashville this week. And it was kind of snowing. It had some flurries in Knoxville. It gets cold in Tennessee. Probably not as cold as Ohio, but that's going to be an interesting matchup. So Tennessee, as the 7th best team in the country, got the 9 seed in the college football playoff. They will be taking on Ohio State at the Horseshoe in the first round of the playoff. Winner of that game will be in the Rose Bowl against Oregon. So you're either going to get a traditional Rose Bowl game, former traditional Rose Bowl game, of a Pac-12 team and a Big Ten team, or you're going to get Tennessee and Oregon. So I guess technically it might be another Big Ten rematch, but Ohio State-Oregon rematch, really much on the table. Tennessee-Oregon, I think, would be a great matchup, too, in the next round. I think Texas-Arizona State is going to be a good matchup, potentially, if Texas gets through Clemson. I think Clemson matches up well with Texas. I think that's a pretty good game. Indiana will take on Notre Dame. You got the in-state battle between Indiana and Notre Dame. That's going to be a fun one. I like that one already. I thought it'd be kind of cool to have SMU play Texas. But you're going to get Indiana and Notre Dame in South Bend. That's going to be a hell of a game. We'll see how good it is. We'll see how good Indiana is. I mean, Indiana, again, we want to talk about strength of schedule, and I went through it with Penn State. You look at Indiana this year, 11-1, and their best win is Michigan. And that's not even a good win. So now it comes down to the final thing. It's Alabama and it's SMU. Brett McMurphy already tweeted out before they even got through this that, according to sources, SMU is in. So SMU at Penn State is going to be the matchup, according to Brett McMurphy. I mean, he got the scoop before everybody else. So we're sitting here waiting for the TV to flip it with Alabama and SMU, and they're going through the strength of record and strength of schedule and everything like that. If SMU gets punished for playing in a conference championship game, it is a debacle. It is a debacle. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think SMU is going to make the college football playoff and play Penn State with a chance to take on Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl as they keep dragging this thing along. Clemson at Texas, first round game, going to be a great one. Winner plays Arizona State. Indiana at Notre Dame, going to be a great one. In the state of Indiana. I mean, that's a great matchup in the first round. Winner has to go play Georgia down in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, every venue is a dome except for the Rose Bowl for the quarterfinals, and that should be a fun one too. I mean, Tennessee-Ohio State's a great matchup. Clemson and Texas is a great matchup. Indiana-Notre Dame's a great matchup, and there it is officially. SMU slated as the number 10 team in the country, gets the 11 seed. Alabama is out. SMU is in. Alabama is out. We got our field for the 12-team playoff. Oregon's number one. They will be in the Rose Bowl awaiting the 8-9 matchup of Tennessee at Ohio State. Number two seed Georgia will be at the Sugar Bowl. They will take on the winner of Indiana and Notre Dame. Boise State, the 3 seed, will be in the Fiesta Bowl. They'll take on the winner of SMU at Penn State. Arizona State is the 4 seed. They are in the Peach Bowl. They will await the winner of Clemson at Texas. And that is your college football playoff 12-team field. First team out is Alabama. Second team out is Miami. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to react to this and finish up the show. I'm Braden Suprenant. College football playoff is now set. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Wrapping up the Braden Suprenant show here on a Sunday morning. Talking a lot of college football for you. College football playoff was just announced. And we got our field, Oregon, number one seed, followed by Georgia as the number two seed. Number three seed is Boise State, and the four is Arizona State. Those two teams getting it, obviously, to because of being conference champions. So those are how the top four seeds play out. And then after that, as we had our rankings just get unveiled in college football. Oregon number one, as I mentioned, Georgia two, and then they had... I had the thing right here. I got to pull the bracket up. Okay, Oregon number one, Georgia two, Boise State three, Arizona State four. Those are the four teams that have a bye. Oregon will be awaiting in the Rose Bowl. Boise State as the three is in the Fiesta Bowl. Georgia as the two in the Sugar Bowl. And Arizona State the four in the Peach Bowl. The number one seed, Oregon, will await the 8-9. That is Ohio State, the 8, hosting Tennessee, the 9 in the first round of the playoff. Winner will go to the Rose Bowl. The number two seed, Georgia, in the Sugar Bowl, will wait the game in Indiana. Notre Dame Fighting Irish is the 7 seed, hosting the 10th seeded Indiana Hoosiers. Winner of that will play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. In the Fiesta Bowl, awaiting is Boise State. They will take on the winner of SMU, the 11th seed, at Penn State, the 6th seed. And then the final one is the 5 seed, Texas, is going to host the 12 seed and conference champion Clemson for a chance to play Arizona State in the Peach Bowl. I like this. I like the 12-team playoff. You know, people complaining about Alabama not being in it. Shouldn't have lost the, you know, 3 games this season to Alabama. I thought it made college football just way more fun. Down the stretch, it seemed that, you know, way better to be able to, you know, put this together for college football. The last couple of weeks have been great. I mean, the conference championship games were great. They were awesome to see. Absolutely awesome to see. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, this playoff play out and everything that's tied with this. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what these teams got and everything like that. So I like it. I like the 12-team playoff. It'd be a lot better if you didn't have to have, humans decide it. I think it should be decided on the field. But as of right now, you got to like the way it's played out. I think the committee set themselves up for a lot of problems if they didn't if they left SMU out for playing a conference championship game. I think they set themselves up for a lot of problems, you know, for a lot of reasons with some of the precedent here of what gets set. Now all of a sudden we'll talk about how it needs to be expanded again. And like I told Kevin at Chula Vista, it's not about expansion. It's not about the number of teams. It's how the process is for these games, or how you determine who makes the playoff and who doesn't. I mean, that's where we're at on this right now. So for me, I'm glad we finally got to this point of the 12-team playoff, but I think we could do a lot better. But a lot of things being played out here with this, a lot of narratives, right? So the college football playoff. Anybody that was against the college football playoff expanding, how fun has the last couple of weeks been? I mean, the Big 12 was wide open. Big 12 was wide open. It was going to be BYU. Maybe it was going to be Colorado. Iowa State was battling. Arizona State was picked last in their conference. Last. They were picked last to finish last in the Big 12. They even lost their first conference game to Texas Tech. And they go on an absolute roll and make it to the Big 12 championship game. And they won, and they're in. I mean, how many times did we see in the past? And it's not really with Arizona State. They were kind of the favorite in that game. But even like Clemson, right? I mean, how many times did we watch the conference championship games, and the winner, only if the winner was one of the schools, was it going to be a they're in the playoff situation, right? I mean, how many times it was like, well, this is really only a game for Michigan in the Big Ten championship game, because if they lose, they might not get the 1 or 2 seed. It might be a 3 or 4, but they're still going to be in. And if Iowa beats them, they're not even come close to being in the playoff. You know, to me, that was ridiculous. If you make the conference championship, you should be in if you win. That happened at Clemson. Clemson got into the championship game. They won. They're in. Just announced all the times and dates for these games. First round games, there will be 3 on Saturday, December 21st. There'll be 1 on Friday, December 20th. That game on December 20th will be the game in Indiana. It'll be Indiana at Notre Dame. That will be a 5 o'clock start on ESPN and ABC. The games on Saturday will be the Clemson-Texas game in Austin. That will start at 1 o'clock Pacific time on TNT. Tennessee at Ohio State will be a 5 o'clock game. That will be the night game. That will be on ESPN. And then the morning game will be SMU at Penn State. That game will be at 9 in the morning from State College, Pennsylvania. That game will also be on TNT. So TNT with the doubleheader in the first round. ESPN will have the Friday night and the Saturday night games. And then the quarterfinal games, all of the games will be on New Year's Day with the exception of the Fiesta Bowl, which will be a 4:30 kick on New Year's Eve. So a 4:30 kick Pacific time for the Boise State awaiting SMU and Penn State game. That will be the New Year's Eve game. The New Year's Day games will be the Rose Bowl, the Peach Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl, and those will, I think, be at the traditional times, if I am not mistaken, on January 1st. And that was a big deal for college football and trying to keep it, for the Rose Bowl to be a part of this thing, is to, you know, keep the same kickoff times that they have always had for the Rose Bowl. And that's what it's going to be. So the Rose Bowl will be the 2 o'clock game out here on the West Coast. The night game will be the Sugar Bowl at 5:45. On January 1st, and then the Peach Bowl will be the morning game at 10 in the morning for that one as well. It's kind of funny, like, where the ticket prices are already. I mean, you can already see them being posted for some of these games. You know, they don't have them yet for the Saturday games on December 21st, still adding it. But so far right now, tickets are as low as $245 for the Clemson-Texas game in Austin, Texas. The game on... for the quarterfinal playoff game on New Year's Eve, the Fiesta Bowl, $213 get in price right now. The Peach Bowl, which could be Notre Dame and Georgia, is already listed as the get in price at $1,740 for that game. The Rose Bowl, about 321 bones, and the game in New Orleans, $161 for that one. Actually, the Peach Bowl is the Arizona State Texas game. Potentially, not the Notre Dame Georgia game, which seems a lot cheaper right now. So maybe those will change. I bet you they will. We got dates and times. We got networks, and it's going to be fun. Now's the time to play it. And to kind of relate all of this back to San Diego State, I mean, you look at Boise State getting a first round bye, and I didn't think they deserved it. They end up getting a first round bye, and you know what? There's a path for the Aztecs to be a part of this thing and maybe host a game in the future, maybe be, you know, in a first round bye. They have an ability to get there. You saw it with Boise State. They get a little bit more credit just because they have done things in the past. But at the same time, if UNLV would have beat Boise State, they would have been the college football playoff. And they would have been the 12. They would have been playing at Texas. So you could think of yourself at the spot. I mean, if you're San Diego State, you could be playing Texas in the first round of a playoff. And what would that do for the program that is San Diego State, right? So the opportunity is there, just to kind of relate it back to local programming. We will have, and I'm sure that they'll start coming out, and I know the Holiday Bowl will reveal who's coming to play here in the Holiday Bowl. I would imagine it's going to be Washington State representing the Pac-12, I guess, is what it would be, even though they're still in the Pac-12. And then I'm curious to see who the ACC team's going to be, because I think SMU winning would have potentially set up Clemson to come from the ACC. to the Holiday Bowl, but we're going to have to wait. They're going to have their unveil today at around 11 o'clock down at the at Costera, and we'll see who's coming to the Holiday Bowl. All the bowl game announcements can now finally be made with this playoff, but very interesting playoff selection, man. And we're going to break this thing down 100 different ways for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, you see some of these tweets, right? It's like, Oregon beat Penn State last night and was rewarded with a harder path to the semis than Penn State was. You could say that. You could say that. But the thing that makes this great and the beauty of this, especially in football, it's a war. This is a sport of attrition. And when you play good teams, you get guys get hurt, and you got to make it through a tough gauntlet. And that's what these big schools are going to do. And we lined it up, and it's time to get ready to go out there and play. Thanks again for tuning in to the Brayden Suprenant Show. I'm Brayden Suprenant. We're here each and every Sunday from 8 to 10. We'll have a couple of holidays off, but we will be back next Sunday. Talk some college football and everything else. Brayden Suprenant Show, live and local each every Sunday morning, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks again for downloading the episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on social media at @B_SURP. Subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to tune in to the Brayden Suprenant Show each and every Sunday from 8 to 10 in the morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. What's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. I want to thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Brayden Suprenant Show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @B_SURP. And be sure to tune in every Sunday for the Brayden Suprenant Show from 8 to 10 in the morning right here on 97.3 The Fan. Enjoy the show, guys.
San Diego. Time to take your airwaves back from the usual weekend noise with some local sports talk on the Brayden Suprenant Show.
With the stars that they have signed under contract, you can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime.
Sports year. Radio cater to the ones who call America's finest city home.
Brayden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
The Brayden Suprenant Show starts now.
But I think Brayden's one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game in San Diego.
Here's your host, Brayden Suprenant.
What's up, San Diego? Good morning to all of you out there. A chilly morning on a beautiful Sunday morning in America's finest city. I'm Brayden Suprenant. This is the Brayden Suprenant Show, taking up to 10 o'clock today. Live and local every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. Might be having some news on the show in the next couple of weeks or so. We might be pushing it back to 9 o'clock. And be a 9 to 11 show starting in the new year. We'll have more details on that later on as it starts to move about. Some other weekend programming might be coming to these airwaves, which is great to see for the station. But as of right now, still 8 to 10 here on a Sunday morning, talking everything in the world of sports, especially that pertains to San Diego. But today's a big day for all of you college football fans out there, and I would consider myself one of those fans. It's college football playoff selection day. In about 59 minutes, 58 minutes, they're going to start their, you know, dog and pony show on ESPN. But we will know eventually after that who the 12 teams are going to be in the college football playoff. And we know who a couple of them already are going to be. A lot of it has to do with seeding, right? I mean, we know Oregon's going to be in it. We know Georgia's going to be in it. We know the conference champions of Arizona State and Boise State and Clemson, now after beating SMU last night by a field goal, we know that they're going to be in it. We know that Texas will be in it and Penn State and Notre Dame and Tennessee and Ohio State and Indiana, maybe Indiana. And maybe we know what a lot of those teams are going to be in the college football playoff. We don't know where the seedings are going to be. The fact that we're still kind of considering whether or not it's going to be SMU or Alabama, I think, is laughable. And I think this entire thing is laughable and really a sham, to be honest with you. And I remember saying that back in 2014 when Baylor and TCU got left out. Obviously, I'm biased in that particular situation, but that was the first level of this is all going to be a gigantic sham, isn't it? And people are starting to catch on. I mean, you're starting to actually see media members that don't work for the four-letter network talking about how ESPN has too much involvement in this college football playoff selection process. It's not the conspiracies anymore about how it's trying to find the best teams that give us the best ratings instead of just the teams that are the best who have proven it on the field in the college football playoff. So we got a lot of that to break down. I mean, it's funny, the discussions right now, it's whether or not it should be Alabama or SMU or South Carolina or Miami or Ole Miss. Nobody's talking about some of the teams that are just for sure foregone conclusions in the playoff. I mean, honestly, what has Texas done to deserve to be in the playoff over some of the schools that they're potentially going to leave out? I mean, look at the Texas Longhorns. They didn't play anybody in non-conference. They play the worst teams. They played the worst teams in the SEC in conference play, except for Georgia and A&M. And they went 1-2 against Georgia and A&M. They played three games against teams with a winning record in the SEC. They went 1-2. Three teams. Everybody else was below 500, with the exception of Florida, who ended up pulling out a 4-4 year in the SEC. A little bit of difference between them and maybe even in Alabama. But then you look at Alabama, right? And everybody wants to talk about with Alabama. Well, you know, Alabama's really good. Alabama deserves to be in the playoff. Well, Alabama, aside from their logo that looks like the Atlanta Braves logo, what have they done to be in the playoff? I had this conversation, and I'm going to get it to some of the things that I did over the weekend here in a second. But I had this conversation yesterday with some of my brother's friends who are not necessarily into college football as much as they are into the NFL, about like teams that they would like to watch. Well, nobody wants to watch Arizona State play BYU or Arizona State play Iowa State like yesterday in the Big 12 playoff. And the reason for that, I was like, well, have you seen them play? And the answer was like, no, but it's Arizona State. It's just the stigma of the school and the school name of why nobody wants to watch them play. Same thing can be said about these other, well, I want to watch Alabama. Well, I'd much rather watch Alabama play Notre Dame. Well, would you much rather watch those two teams play? Or would you rather watch their uniforms play? What are we talking about here? Because for anybody that watches college football, and Notre Dame and Alabama are good teams this year, but for anybody that watches college football, knows there's better teams out there and there's good teams out there that don't get the benefit of the doubt, that don't get the credit because they don't have the correct logo or they don't come from the right conference. And everybody is so biased and brainwashed towards what they have been shown on television or what the media gives you that they don't want to give a chance to Arizona. Arizona State looked like a badass football team yesterday. As a Big 12 fan, obviously, again, I'm a little biased, but that was my first time I got to watch an Arizona State football game from start to finish. And I know Iowa State's all right. Iowa State did beat Iowa. Big bad Iowa from the big bad Big Ten. But you look at Scadabo for Arizona State, that guy is a house. That guy put on a show yesterday for the Sun Devils. Had a good offensive line, can move the ball, ground and pound, flew around on defense. That looked like a good football team. That looked like a football team that deserved to be in the college football playoff. They're in because they won the Big 12. That looked like a football team that is better than Boise State. But even like Boise State gets that kind of recognition because they won the Fiesta Bowl and they were in a bunch of BCS games, you know, during the BCS era. They kind of get the benefit of the doubt with their logo. I mean, they beat Wyoming by a point. Arizona State beat Wyoming by 35 points. The Mountain West schedule is awful. I mean, how many times have we said on the airwaves here in San Diego? Nobody wants to watch the teams come to town when they play the Aztecs. And you start looking at some of the teams that Boise State has played. I mean, they did give Oregon a run for their money. I think that's valued. But when your best quality of your resume is you lost to Oregon close, it's not necessarily better than what Arizona State is. So there's a lot of different moving parts to this. I know what the ratings are, right? It's all about, you know, it's about the ratings a little bit. It's about eyeballs on TVs. Well, nobody wants to watch. Look at the, like, the arrogance and just from the SEC in general. We got guys like Cam Newton going, nobody wants to watch these two schools play. They all watch all the SEC school plays. Well, you play in the SEC, dude. And again, you're talking about the logos. You're not talking about the actual teams. I mean, watching the Texas-Georgia game yesterday. Watching those two teams play, and it was a close game. The game was good from this aspect. It went to overtime. It was close. It was back and forth. But sometimes, I mean, the level of play, you're sitting there watching, like, they're watching the quarterbacks play. I mean, Quinn Ewers is all right. Carson Beck is not very good. And that was before he got hurt. And then they brought in the backup, and he was okay. He just looked a little rattled that he had to go in. But I was watching the Georgia-Texas game going, these two teams are far superior than everybody else in college football. This conference is far superior than everybody else in college football. I think from top to bottom, they probably are the best conference. But at the same time, this like level of eliteness that they just on their high horse about, it's all relatively similar now to the rest of college football. Big Ten's got a couple of good teams at the top. Some really good teams. Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State. And after that, it's a lot of mid. I mean, Indiana, I think Indiana deserves to be in the playoff because they did it on the field. But Indiana, I mean, you can't tell me Indiana's like some great football team. I mean, if we're going to hold teams accountable for their schedule, hold everybody accountable for their schedule. I mean, why does Notre Dame get a pass? Notre Dame gets a pass, why? Because they were good in the 70s and the 80s? They've been on NBC forever. They have their own deal, right? Their own TV deal. That's why they can't join a conference. Because they don't want to give up their own TV deal. What has Notre Dame done? Notre Dame's best victory this year is Army. It's Army. I know Army's good. I know they won the American. But, like, you're talking about your best win being a ranked opponent in a group of six conference after you lost at home to Northern Illinois, which, by the way, everybody just seemed to forget about. With Notre Dame. That's just like that just never happened. Just never happened. Why does Notre Dame get a pass? I mean, there's so many of these I could just go through all through the entire deal. If we're going to punish SMU for not having that big marquee win, then you can't ignore it with all the other teams that are in front of them. You can't ignore it. I mean, look at some of these resumes of some of the schools. I mean, they're big wins. You're looking at, they're going like, what are you talking about? Notre Dame gets a pass. You know, Texas beat A&M, all right? That's kind of their biggest win of the year. But aside from that, if you want to know what teams they play, just look at the bottom of the SEC standings. You got schools like Ole Miss and South Carolina, you know? And they have to do this as a head coach. You can't sit there and be like, we don't deserve to be in the playoffs. You're going to get fired. Like, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. Kentucky had one win in the SEC. It's the Ole Miss. Well, South Carolina lost to Alabama. I mean, if you want to talk about Alabama and SMU and which one deserves to be in, that's fine. But if you want to throw South Carolina in the mix because they just happen to play a lot better at the end of the season, I mean, give me a break, dude. They already lost to Alabama head-to-head. You're already eliminated. And the other school you lost to was Ole Miss. The other school you're potentially tied with to jump into a spot. Eliminate them from the get-go. You look at the AP Top 25. They dropped SMU four spots behind Alabama, the number 12 right now. If the AP poll was in charge of putting the playoff together, SMU would be out. Why does Alabama get the benefit of not having to play in the SEC championship game and SMU only gets the negative effect of playing in the ACC championship game, a game they lost by a field goal on a walk-off field goal? Let's find the, I mean, if we want to be honest about ourselves here, let's start being honest in every single category. The problem is it's almost an impossible task. That's why the college football playoff in general and just being picked by a committee, which, by the way, looking at the video of the committee sitting there watching those TVs, I've had a better setup in my college dorm than they had in their hotel with how they're watching ball games. But if you're telling me that we're going to rely on about 12 to 15 people that all have their own agendas in there as well. They say they don't. They all have their own ways, their own meanings, their own incentives, their own monetary incentives for the conferences that they're athletic directors for. But until you eliminate the human element, you're going to have this argument every single year. It's not going to matter how many teams are in it. It's not about the teams. It's never been about how many teams there are. It's been about the process of picking these games. You went from having poll members just pick a champion to a computer pick the best two teams and put them in a championship to then creating four teams, again, having people pick who they think the best four teams are, and then using BS too. Like Florida State last year couldn't get in because their quarterback got hurt. What's the deal with Carson Beck? What's the deal with Carson Beck? I mean, if Georgia lost yesterday, if they would have lost yesterday, they would have had three losses. And Carson Beck is hurt. Would they have been left out of the playoff? Quarterback's hurt. If Florida State, without their quarterback, is going to be valued differently than what they were with their quarterback last year, then why aren't you making the same argument for Arizona State, who has two losses, but one of them being in a game in which they didn't have their starting quarterback? Wouldn't that game be affected differently? Wouldn't you evaluate that game differently? The flip-flopping is what pisses people off. Flip-flopping of, like, the 13th data point's important. Now it's not. The flip-flopping of, you know, they don't have any big ranked wins until it's not, because it doesn't affect the teams that you want to put in. Really ridiculous. A lot of it's really ridiculous. Until you start putting together a playoff where teams are automatically qualified and then you seed it however you want, like the FCS does, you're going to be having this all the time. This is going to be a problem all the time. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you want to weigh in on the show, give us a phone call. You can put it in the YouTube chat. We also got voice messages that you can leave. So if you're listening on the app, on the Odyssey app, and you pull it up, and I can pull it up on my phone right now, pull up the Odyssey app, make sure I mute it so I don't hear myself twice on this, and then you click on 97.3 The Fan on the logo. It should be recently played stations for you or in town. They like to do that in your location services. You'll have a listen live button, and right next to it will be send a voice message. If you click on send a voice message, allow the microphone, hold down the microphone, you'll send a voice message right to my computer, and I can get in some of your content and stuff that you want to weigh in. It's really easy to do it. If you don't want to call in to the show and be on the air like that, at least you could find some way to record what you want to say and send it in. I'll get it played on the air, and we can talk about anything under the sun. We're going to talk a lot of college football. I was at the USD San Diego State game last night, Viejas Arena. Aztecs looked really good. USD gave them a valiant fight for most of the game. Things kind of unraveled. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, kind of the college basketball here in town. But aside from that, it's going to be mostly college football today. We'll kind of talk a little bit about the Padres if we have time with free agency. I mean, Willy Adames just signed with the Giants. He got a lot of money. I thought everybody was, you know, foregone conclusion that Ha-Sung Kim was going to go there. Willy Adames, does that open up Ha-Sung Kim to potentially return to the Padres on a make-good deal? Or does he go somewhere else? Did the Giants sign Ha-Sung Kim now that they have Willy Adames? I mean, you start going through some of the big signings. Padres not really throwing a lot of money around. I know we're kind of waiting for Juan Soto to get his deal before he can start evaluating a lot of other players. A lot of other players are like, forget that. We're just going to go sign right now. We get any of that news, we will pass it along to you as well. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Talking college basketball in town. When we come back, be sure to get your voice messages in as well as the Braden Soprenet Show, live and local each every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Braden Soprenet Show, live and local each every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. Might be changing that around in the near future, but thanks again for making our morning a part of yours. Getting around, maybe going, getting some shopping done for the week early before everybody does that, getting some supplies for your Sunday. Maybe you're getting locked in on this college football playoff selection show. It's going to come down in about 40, just under 40 minutes now. And we'll be live reacting to that on the air. And we'll get a lot of your thoughts. Again, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you want to leave a voice message, you can do that on the Odyssey app. I'll play that on the show. If not, you can tweet at me or, you know, message me on any of the social media devices. I'm on all of them. I'm not on Blue Sky. I just, you know, I don't want to add anymore. But at B_SURP, at BSERP. You can find me on X/Twitter. You can find me on Instagram doing that. You can find me on TikTok and, you know, other social media platforms, B_SURP. You can also find my YouTube channel as well, but if you want to weigh into the show, at B_SURP, you can also use the Odyssey voice message feature on the Odyssey app, and you can traditionally call into the show. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. Banna out in Spring Valley is joining us right now. Banna, what's going on? Banna in Spring Valley. Oh, no. There you go. Got you now.
All right. Sweet, sweet. Yeah, good morning, man. Went to the San Diego State game yesterday. It was a pretty competitive game. Had a couple questions. So I see Nick Boyd. He's really good with on ball and pick and roll. But I feel Dutcher, we have a lot of stagnant players on offense. Would you think we should run more pick and roll with Nick Boyd, kind of get the offense moving? Because I'm seeing guys on the wing standing. I know we're missing Reese Waters and a couple other wing guys. But what is your idea on that? You think Nick Boyd should have more control of our offense?
I think it'd be nice to see. But, you know, with Dutch and those and what they have done, I mean, it's been a lot of it's very, you know, static and letting guys just kind of take over games. When San Diego State has had really good teams, they've had at least one big guy that has been able to take over games. The other thing, too, is, you know, yesterday, Magoon Gwath, he got hurt early in that contest, and they put him back in a little bit, and then he missed almost the majority of that game, and I don't know if they're trying to hold him out, you know, as a precaution. I mean, they obviously didn't need Gwath yesterday against USD, but that was a little concerning. You know, Bird was a little, you know, he was a little shaken up too, but, you know, I think with the Aztecs and just the depth that they have, they can run a lot of that stuff, and they can move guys around. And, you know, I know they got to – it's hard because you're trying to keep everybody there, and you got to spread some of the love with San Diego State's basketball team. But they got a lot of good players, and they can move the ball around. I wouldn't mind seeing Dutch and those guys open it up a little bit. But I was pretty I thought USD gave them a lot of lot of different looks and gave them the best fight that they could yesterday. You know, good – it was good for San Diego. I don't know. It was a little concerning for the Aztecs for a little bit, but I'm glad that they were able to pull ahead and win and cover what they needed to cover for all the analytical purposes.
Yeah, man. I was very surprised. That number five for USD was on fire. He hit like three threes in a row, came back with a couple more in the second half. So very competitive game. Just hope Reese Waters gets back soon and we keep playing great.
Yeah, I think, and then I think they're going to. You know, Benji Pierre is who you're talking about, number five for USD. And man, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks again. That was his first 3-pointer of the year. I mean, Benji Pierre, he was on fire last night for the Toreros. On fire. I couldn't believe it. He ended up hitting 5 threes yesterday. And if it wasn't for Benji Pierre hitting some threes, man, who knows what the score could have potentially been. I mean, he kept trading blows with the Aztecs, and Benji Pierre, a guy that, you know, missed significant time for the Toreros with an injury, finally getting able to get back this year and playing, you know, getting some good playing time and really settling in. And that was a great bright spot for USD. I mean, they had a lot of good bright spots there for the Toreros. And, you know, that's a great game. And I know it's not – It's not super beneficial for the Aztecs to play that game. And if I'm San Diego State, I mean, I would never try to play that game unless it was a big benefit to me. And, you know, I know San Diego wants to get to a point where they could play that game every year, and UCSD can play, and all three of the teams in town could play each other every year and have it be beneficial for everybody. And San Diego's trying to work to a spot where they could do that. Right now, UCSD is doing a really good job. The Tritons are on the up. I think they're going to give a lot of Big West schools a run for their money. I think they, you know, are going to be in the conversation for a Big West title in college basketball, and they're up to that level. They're spending a lot of money on their program. They're doing a great job with their media and everything. So I could see UCSD being, they're not too far off of being a team that is going to help San Diego State's metrics when they play them, win or lose. Now you just got to get USD to be in that spot, and we could have the three teams in town. I mean, I know it'd be cool to kind of have a four-team San Diego tournament with USD, San Diego State, and UCSD. They kind of little round robin. They all play each other, mixed in with Point Loma Nazarene, just to showcase the college basketball here in town, because we got some really good college basketball here in San Diego. But appreciate the phone call from Banna out in Spring Valley. Again, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, I'm going to tell you who I would have in the college football playoff, and then we're getting close. I mean, we're right there and ready to start breaking potential playoff matchups and seeds as we get closer and closer to the selection show coming up at 9 o'clock. I'm going to take you to the 10 o'clock hour. Of course, we'll try to get in some NFL after the college football playoff announces who their 12 schools are going to be. And we had a big day for the Aztecs on Friday. I mean, we're talking about Aztec basketball. Looked really good. I mean, they're top 25 in the country. But what Sean Lewis did on Friday to get in the right direction again with San Diego State, I think Friday was a big day for the Aztecs, and I'll tell you what that is and why when we come back on the Braden Soprenant Show, live and local each every Sunday morning from 8 to 10, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Braden Soprenant Show, live and local each every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. Thanks again for making our morning a part of yours. Talking a lot of college football today. Under 30 minutes to go before the college football playoff ranking review. We get to listen to these guys give us some BS reason why certain teams are in certain spots. We're going to go through all of that here in just a little bit. Again, if you want to weigh in on the show, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I don't want to talk about San Diego State to pay off the tees. I think the Aztecs had a great day on Friday. And on Friday, it wasn't a big recruiting day. It wasn't National Letter of Intent Day. It was not signing day. But Friday, a lot of the captains and a lot of the impact players and some of the older players for San Diego State that have the ability and had the ability to test their waters in the open market on the transfer portal decided to come back for another year. And the one that was the biggest, obviously, was Trey White, right? Trey White had a great year for San Diego State, playing defensive line, a local product out of East Lake High School. His family is here. He loves being in San Diego. And hopefully the Aztecs and Aztecs Link and their NIL and everything like that was able to get him enough money to stay here on his own. But he's decided to stay and be an Aztec. That is huge news. Ross Masauli did the same thing. Another local product for San Diego State. Tonal Latuli did. And it was started to reek through all of these, you know, kind of veteran leaders on this Aztec team that all individually played well enough where they were going to get some offers in the transfer portal. And instead, they're staying at San Diego State. I thought that was big part number one. Number two, regardless of the outcome of the game on Friday night, the Mountain West Championship game was a play-in game for the college football playoff. And that is huge on a lot of different levels. I mean, one, if they continue to go down this path of having automatic qualifiers with the five conference champions, they might change that after these rankings come out, which would totally, you know, be ridiculous. But they're not going to change anything until after 2026. So next year is an open opportunity for the Aztecs. But it just goes to show that the Mountain West, after all of the other conferences in the group of six, had their top teams go up to Power Five, the Mountain West, right now, is the best out of the group of six, probably. It's better than the American. They're getting more clout than the American is, because the American champ is nowhere near where Boise State and UNLV were for that game. And that was going to be a win and in. If UNLV won, they'd be in the playoff right now. They'd be a 12 seed, but they'd be in the playoff. I mean, it paves a path for San Diego State. And that's in the old Mountain West. Who knows what it's going to be like in the new Pac-12? You eliminate, and again, I think the move to the Pac-12 is not as great as maybe San Diego State does. I think it's slightly better. But you look at the new college football landscape's always ever changing. You look at the new Pac-12, it's going to be better than the current Mountain West, because all the best Mountain West schools are going to get up in the Pac-12 with Washington State and Oregon State. It's already going to be a better conference. So that's going to be better than what's left of the Mountain West, which is already better than the American and all the other conferences out there. There's a path for San Diego State to make the college football playoff. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be a guarantee, but there is a path there, which I think is good news for the Aztecs. So Friday was a good day for San Diego State when it comes to football. They got to keep a lot of players, and we'll see what they do in the transfer portal. You got to give Sean Lewis some time. And if he's able to pick up some transfers and some bounce backs for the Power Five, you know, this Aztec team has a path now to the college football playoff in future years. In a scary environment for a program like San Diego State. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Want to get out to your phone calls again before I kind of lay out how I would view or how I would put together the college football playoff in terms of the 12 teams this year. Let's go out to the East Coast, a West Coast guy at heart, out on the East Coast, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
Hey, well, excuse me 1 minute. How you doing, Brandon? How you doing? Hope you had a good holiday. Thanksgiving, happy holidays.
Yeah, absolutely, Mitch. Hopefully you and your family had a good holiday as well.
I hate that with building up this kind, they have to have drama, controversy. I think 12 teams is enough. So a few teams, you know, you got to win your conference. I can't wait for the new Pac-12 to go. The game with Texas. I hope Texas, when they're talking about Alabama, I hope they should let Texas in, even though Texas shot themselves in the foot. When you say, I mean, it's disappointing with Keen Ewers. He didn't play like a top five pick. He might transfer, or he might not be in the first round. And disappointing with USC's recruit. And they better do better with the portal, the free agency of college football, which is better than baseball and football.
Well, especially with SC, Mitch. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're looking at Oregon being able to win the championship of the Big Ten, and Oregon gets a bunch of guys from Southern California that USC and UCLA used to get. But for the Trojans, I mean, right now, you go 6-6 and you're not one of the best in recruiting, and you didn't, you know, that fence around Southern California has been infiltrated, and all those guys from the Trinity League of St. John Bosco and Modern Day and Orange Lutheran and Jay Sarah are all going all over the place. Instead of staying in your backyard. I mean, the other one, I mean, if you look at Madden Foramo, who was a San Diego kid, I got to coach at Cathedral, ended up going to Jay Sarah, one of the best linebackers in the country. And in fact, if you took his measurables and what his combine drill stats are, he'd be the sixth best linebacker in this year's draft. I mean, he's just a phenom athlete.
Yeah.
And he was between Notre Dame and SC, and he picked Notre Dame. I mean, that's where SC is right now. And when you coach in high school football here in town, I mean, SC does not have the same kind of swag and moniker to a lot of kids in Southern California as it did back in the early 2000s.
Well, Lincoln Riley, he should know where Pete Carroll is teaching, because I think Pete Carroll could just take what Pete Carroll did, and he took off at NFL for a few reasons. We can't say it on the air here, but now that's legal. And what Reggie Bush did, that would be okay now, I think.
I could
be mistaken.
Well, look at SMU, right? I mean, SMU put a lot of money into it. Mitch, I appreciate the phone call. Have a good holidays again. schools. I mean, now it's funny. It's like everything that they got in trouble for, them and SMU, is like all legal now with some of the money and everything like that. But, I mean, to have the resources of Los Angeles, and when they brought in Lincoln Riley, I thought for sure they would be able to just load up and get after it. And they haven't. And if it doesn't work with Lincoln Riley, and I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all, but again, I mean, SC has just been struggling the last decade or so and just trying to be relevant on the West Coast when it comes to college, being relevant in college football. You know, with Caleb Williams, they were relevant, right, because he was a Heisman winner and candidate for 2 years, and they had good teams, but they weren't, like, good enough to be in a national championship consideration. I mean, they need to be in the national championship consideration to be a program like USC. And they're not. And you see it with recruiting. I mean, I see all these kids all the time. I mean, like, while coaching for not only the school I coach at in high school, but the schools that we go against. And all these kids have all their bags and their, you know, their, and the biggest thing is the lanyards of all of the schools that they go do these camps at and stuff like that. They're not wearing a lot of SC gear anymore. It's a lot of Oregon. It's a lot of SEC schools. You know, it's the Ohio States. It's the Penn States. It's Oregon. It's Washington. You know, those are the schools that these kids are the gear that they're wearing. It's the schools that make the college football playoff. You know what it is? Also, it's the schools that have just insane college-level atmospheres, too. And that's a big thing. Kids like playing in big games. They like playing in fun environments. They like playing in places where it means a lot. And on the West Coast, it's just a hard sell. College athletics on the West Coast is such a hard sell. I mean, Aztec basketball last week beats Fresno State and went last night over, you know, Crosstown USD. They're ranked in the top 25, had a great tournament in Vegas. And one of the schools that they beat the number one team in the country. We didn't even talk about it on the air. It's hard on the West Coast. The West Coast is not a, it's the same with the Northeast. I don't want to bash on my side of the country here where I'm born and raised, but college athletics is not as popular on the coasts. It's more of professional sports environments. You know, people on the coast, not a lot of people on the coast are born and raised on the East and West Coast. And I'm talking like Northeast. I'm not talking about the South. The South is different. That's its own little animal. But a lot of the people that live here in Southern California and in San Diego are not from here. Nor did they go to school here. So why would they care about some of the local college teams, right? It's hard. It's a hard sell. And SC is finding that the hard way right now. Let's talk about the college football playoff and what they're going to do. What they're going to do and what I think they do and what I think they should do. And the thing that gets me with the college football playoff all the time is the changing of, like, what metrics are important and what ones aren't. And it's a year-to-year basis. It just kind of depends on what some of the big schools are doing. You know, some years strength of schedule is really big. Some years it's not. Some years it's the 13th data point. You know, winning a conference championship is important. Some years it's not. The years it's important are the years where Ohio State needs to win the conference championship to make the playoff. The years it's not, years Penn State wins the conference championship and Ohio State, you know, didn't even make the conference championship. The changing of the metrics drives me nuts with this thing. You know, quality losses, quality wins, moral victories, all back and forth. Let's talk about the easy part. Number one seed is going to be Oregon. That's not even going to be like that big of a contest, right? That's probably not a lot of debate. I'm sure the committee will be like, well, you know, we talked about it and whatever, just to save face. Oregon's locked in at one. I mean, you're not messing that one up. They're going to get the one seed. They're going to have a first round bye. They're going to be playing at the Rose Bowl. Number two, I think it's very safe to say that Georgia will be number two, as in the number two seed. you know, whether or not Notre Dame's the second-ranked team. Who cares about that portion anyway? Just give me the seeds at this point. I don't really care how they're ranked. We can kind of figure it out when you see the number five team and the first team that's not a conference champion. But to me, the two seed is Georgia. They win the SEC. They had a couple of losses. They beat the only team in the SEC that was their challenge, the only challenger, really, in Texas. And they beat them twice. I mean, Texas didn't lose a single game all year except to Georgia. 11-0 against everybody else, 0-2 against Georgia. So Georgia comes in at number two to me in the two seed. Here's where it gets interesting. Your last three teams are going to make it as conference champions, or Arizona State, the champion of the Big 12, the champion of the ACC, and the champion of the ACC. Or sorry, the Mountain West. And how I evaluate those, I'm not a power conference guy over the little guy mentality. But you start looking at what Boise State did. I mean, their biggest win of the year. Look at Boise State's schedule. Their best notion of the year is losing to Oregon by three. Their best data point. Well, we lost to Oregon at Oregon by three. Their best win is UNLV. They beat UNLV twice. They beat UNLV 29-24 and 21-7. UNLV lost to Syracuse. That's their best win. They have no ranked wins. Boise State, in a non-power conference, has no ranked wins. And their schedule is Georgia Southern, lost to Oregon. I mean, the biggest thing for Boise State is they lost to Oregon by three, second week of the year. But if we're going on that metric, Idaho should be considered in the college football playoff then as an FCS school because they went toe-to-toe with Oregon as well in the first week of the season. Georgia Southern, Portland State, Washington State that just fell off the earth at the end of the season. Utah State, Hawaii, UNLV, San Diego State. I mean, some of these schools you watched in person here at Snapdragon Stadium, they're not very good. Nevada, San Jose State, they beat Wyoming by four. Out of all the games between Boise State and Arizona State, the one that's common is Wyoming. Arizona State killed Wyoming. Arizona State, and granted, this was the beginning of the year compared to end of the year. Arizona State beat Wyoming 48-7, and Boise State beat Wyoming by 1 point. They beat them 17-13. They beat them by four. So why does Boise State get the three seed? I don't think they do. Whether or not the college football playoff gives them that or not, I wouldn't. I'd give Arizona State the three. I'd give Boise State the four. I still think they deserve a bye over Clemson with three losses that won the ACC championship. So I go Oregon one. I go Georgia two. I go Arizona State three. I got Boise State four. I think Texas deserves the five. You know, they have two losses. Notre Dame has one. The two losses for Texas came to Georgia. And the one loss for Notre Dame came to Northern Illinois, who we apparently have just absolutely forgotten about that game ever happening. And they lost it at home. I'll take Texas 5. I'd take Notre Dame 6, I guess. I mean, I'm not impressed with Notre Dame. I've never really been impressed with Notre Dame. I know they're 11-1, but if you start going through their wins and losses, I mean, their best win is Army right now. They beat Army 49-14. I know they beat A&M the first week of the season, but it's like they played Purdue and Miami of Ohio. Louisville, who was ranked when they played them, is not ranked anymore. You know, I guess they beat Georgia Tech, who went toe-to-toe with Georgia. I mean, Florida State, Virginia, SC's lousy. Navy, I know Navy was ranked. I mean, that's one of their ranked wins. I don't know why we got to give Notre Dame the benefit of the doubt every time. I'd have Texas 5, and if Notre Dame is a 6th seed. And then this is where it gets interesting, right? To me, the Penn State, Tennessee, and Ohio State spot is very interesting to me. Because Penn State, Ohio State, and Tennessee. These are like the three teams that I think you can rank in all different levels. You know, I don't think Penn State should be punished for having to play an extra game. I really don't. I mean, they got to go to the conference championship game. Ohio State was not there. But to me, with Penn State, it's like all of a sudden they got a loss now. And they played Ohio State, and Ohio State beat them with the same amount of losses. Shouldn't Ohio State be ranked in front of Penn State? They played head-to-head. But then that would, again, that would be punishing Penn State for playing an extra game. It would have been better for Penn State to not be there. Like, what if Ohio State was able to make it with two losses? They lost to Michigan still. They still made the Big Ten championship, and they lost to Oregon. They have three losses now. You know, they drop out? Probably not. So from that logic, I put Penn State 7. I look at Tennessee and Ohio State, and I find it very similar. I find it very similar in what they've done. I mean, you know, Ohio State's big win was at Penn State. Tennessee had a big win at Oklahoma at the time. It was ranked 15th. You know, they beat Alabama. They lost to Georgia by a little bit, but that's their losses at Georgia and Arkansas. Ohio State's losses on the year are to Oregon, a really good team, obviously the number one team in the country, and then to a bad Michigan team at home. It's the same team. Tennessee and Ohio State, same team. Bad loss to Arkansas and Michigan. Good loss to Oregon and Georgia. And a good win, Penn State and Alabama. I think it's very similar. Everybody always gives Ohio State the benefit of the doubt. I'd probably go Tennessee 8, Ohio State 9. I think Indiana deserves to be in it for what they have done. I don't think their schedule's very good. But I'd have them 10. Clemson's probably 11 now. I think they have to flip-flop them with SMU. But I don't think you can knock SMU out for, again, playing an extra game. They had to play an extra game. That's how I'd do it. Oregon, Georgia, Arizona State, Boise State, Texas, Notre Dame, Penn State, Tennessee, Ohio State, Indiana, Clemson, and SMU. That would be my 12. I don't think it's going to be like that, but we're going to find out when we come back. Who's in the college football playoff? My live reactions next on the Braden Suprenant Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks again for downloading the episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on social media at @B_SURP. Subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to tune in to the Braden Suprenant Show each and every Sunday from 8 to 10 in the morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.